Today, we're going to be talking about the rapture. Tickle, tickle, tickle. Many preachers insist the beginning of Revelation chapter 4 has to do with the rapture. This recent 19th century doctrine teaches the last generations of Christians is catapulted to heaven before experiencing any great tribulations on earth. Older folk like the rapture message because the brevity of this life is evident, and the thought of death and being buried in a box bothers them. But the younger folk don't care to hear it much because they have lots to do before they leave. Of course, not many who talk the rapture act as if they believed in the rapture and are ever making plans for future vacations, marriages, children, grandchildren, how their stock market portfolio is to pan out, and what they will do in the golden years of retirement. Amusingly, they claim a great desire to go to heaven, but are doing all they can do to keep from going and major on their health, whether frail or fit. Many also who maintain the time is rapture ripe have bought a funeral plan in advance. Perhaps they are like the five foolish virgins who appear ready to meet the bridegroom day or night and carry a flashlight, but have no batteries. You can look up that one in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 3. Most of the rapture bunch think they are excluded from great tribulations. But just a little while back, I heard of a 19-year-old young woman in an Islamic country who converted to Christianity and had her tongue cut out by her Muslim daddy. She died. Perhaps he hadn't heard about the rapture, as well as other antichrists that have tortured and murdered believers in the past. The Lord Jesus told us, quote, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and he shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake," unquote. Matthew 24:9. The word shall gives Christians no options compared to will. Do you think the devil's boys treat the body of Christ differently than they treated the body of the Lord Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago? I don't think so. Some rapture folk will counter, "What about Elijah? He didn't die." However, the Lord Jesus clarified this question already, and I quote him, "But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them." Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist, unquote. And as you recall, John the Baptist wasn't raptured, but was beheaded dead instead. Matthew chapter 17, verses 12 through 13. Other rapture enthusiasts cite, "Well, there's Enoch. What about him?" Listen, every Christian that died just left his body behind and was not, for God took him. Genesis 5:24 for a reference on that one. This is something to consider, don't you think? Like the Lord Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" Of course, that's in John's gospel. You ought to be able to find that without a reference, huh? Going on, perhaps you can look at this rapture business in different ways. One, when you die physically, not spiritually, God will resurrect you in a supernatural body at the last day. 2, when you are saved and dead in Christ, you already have eternal life. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. 3, when you take your last breath in this world, you will simply take the next breath in heaven, however long the intermission. Therefore, at some point, you will simply blink your eyes and be in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ and will rejoice. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? 1 Corinthians 15:55. The Apostle Paul also wrote, quote, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." That's in 1 Corinthians 15, 51-52. Did you see it? Did you hear it? We all shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Does it make a hoot of difference if the believers asleep in the Lord get to glory a twinkle before the rest or a twinkle later? 1 Thessalonians 4:14 through 18. Also, many ear ticklers teach Revelation chapter 4 through 22 is all in the future, not relevant for today, and will only be viewed from the portals of heaven after the rapture. I guess those portals are just something to entertain us like television or YouTube. However, as I read the book, John wasn't called through heaven's door to eat popcorn and peek out a porthole, but rather to eat the strong meat of the heavenly perspective on things below. In other words, heaven's porthole gives us a view of the past, present, and future. Listen, it makes about as much sense to think that the events of Revelation are always out in the nebulous future, which never arrives, as the Old Testament events are always back in the primitive past and are not for here and now practicalities. In Revelation chapter 7:14, it says, quote, "And one of the elders answered me, saying unto me, What are these that are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them." Unquote. They, the church, the body of Christ, was and is and shall be in great tribulation and will come out of great tribulation because they were in great tribulation. Of course, you perhaps may not have experienced any great tribulations in this life as a believer, and there's probably a good reason for that. So keep looking up to the Lord and remember, Maranatha, the Lord has come and is coming again. Look up or look out.